Thank you, choir. As the choir comes down, please turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We're going to read 11 verses, verses 22 through 33 of Matthew chapter 14. I'm starting a new series this Sunday, and last Sunday in September, and through the month of October, and the title of it is Christian Fear Factor. Christian Fear Factor. Folks, we got a lot of stuff that we fear in our lives, even as Christians, that we shouldn't. Why? Because God is on the throne. He's never surrendered the throne. He's never quit. He doesn't sleep. And as Christians, we need to rely on Him and His Word to not be afraid. If you found your place in Matthew chapter 14, again, we'll be reading verses 22 through 33. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, be in this service. Have your Holy Spirit move among us. Have Him instruct us, teach us, goad us, whatever it needs to be done, so that we would be in your will, so that there would be no doubts, no fears. Erase them all, Heavenly Father. Help us to follow you, to be amazed in the presence of the Lord. Still every heart, open every mind, and reveal your word to us, we pray. For it's in your Son's name we do pray. Amen. I found this little poem. Goes like this. Pain comes and goes from our head to our toes. Fear, it stays and lingers. Chews on our fingers. Pain in the body, pain in the soul, pain in the mind. The poison dart that penetrates the shell. Fear is not there, yet something we find. Deceptive little imps from the pits of hell. Pain of labor, or pain from a wound, pain from emotion, or relationship ruined. Fear of a crowd, or of being alone. Fear of fact, fear of the unknown. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. In my house are many mansions, the price it was paid. Whatever you do, never let fear grow. Take a moment to pray. Take the rod or take the staff and send the imp on its way. The poet's name, by the way, was Saint Ole. Saint Ole. I don't know who that is, but he's a modern day poet. Christian Fear Factor. Today we're going to discuss a fear that pretty much plagues every one of us in this room. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the unknown. Found your place in Matthew chapter 14. Let's read verses 22 through 24. And I want you to get something out of this. A lot of times, the unknown that you fear appears quickly. Let's read. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. What's happening here? Well, you've got to consider that Jesus has just been teaching and preaching. That in verse 14, we see that Herod has been persecuting, or chapter 14 rather. And what has immediately happened before this is Jesus has fed a multitude of people with just a little bit. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And now it's time to go apart. Jesus liked to go apart to study, to pray, to commune with the Heavenly Father. And so it's time to go apart. And he says, okay, guys, I need you to get in the boat and I need you to go across because it's the quickest way we're going to get where we're going. And I'll meet you there. The unknown appears quickly, though, folks. But I want you to understand something. What appears unknown to us is never a mystery to Jesus Christ. What appears unknown to us is never a mystery to Jesus Christ. The unknown appears quickly. It appears quickly in verse 22, even if you're in the center of God's will. What's Jesus doing? He's immediately making his disciples get into the boat and go before him on the other side, and he sends the multitudes away. They were doing what Jesus commanded. They were in the very center of God's will. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is fully God and fully man. Can I explain it? No, but I believe it. I know it. They're in the center of God's will. They're following what Jesus has said. They got into, he told them to get into the boat. They got into the boat. They went. They're not doing something on their own. They're not wandering away. They're not going to go do their own thing, start another tent revival somewhere else. They're doing what Jesus told them to. Sometimes the unknown strikes us even in the center of God's will. Why did this calamity that no one saw coming affect that Christian person? Sometimes it just happens, folks. Why did this strike that good man or that good woman? What's going on? We don't understand. We don't know. Sometimes it happens right in the center of God's will. Sometimes the unknown strikes us, even with an active prayer life. Again, Jesus knows what's going to happen. Jesus knew not only that it would happen that day, but he knew before the world was even created. But let's look at verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening was come, he was alone there. The unknown happens even with an active prayer life. I remember growing up, and probably some of you have heard this too. Well, now if you don't get prayed up, you're not going to have anything happen in your life. As if your prayers are the only thing keeping bad things from you, like it's some sort of magic charm. Am I saying don't pray? Of course not. Am I saying don't have an active prayer life? Of course not. But don't treat it as your lucky rabbit's foot. Because even in an active prayer life, the unknown can strike at any time. And Christian fear factor becomes all the more relevant. You become afraid because you're worried about the unknown. I can't do this, I can't do that. Even in the middle of an active prayer life, sometimes through the providence of God, things reach out and strike us when we least expect it. Christ was praying, and the unknown was about to happen to his disciples. Now, stop a moment and understand this. These guys that are his disciples, they know the ocean. They know the sea. They're fishermen. They spent their life on the water. They know the signs. They know the symptoms. They know what a storm looks like. They know all this stuff. So, the unknown isn't the fact that they're on the sea, it's what happens next. There's no warning. There's no deliberation. Suddenly they're in the midst of a storm in verse 24. Verse 22, we see the unknown can happen even in the center of God's will. The unknown appears quickly and it can happen even with an active prayer life. And in verse 24, the unknown happens often in the midst of sudden storms. Again, these guys are pros. They know what they're doing. They've done this since they were, as we say in the South, knee-high to a grasshopper. These guys know what they're doing. The boat was now in the middle of the sea. Some scholars like to say, well, they don't mean the middle of the sea. They mean like, you know, maybe a few feet out. Because the miracle that happens next, we can't explain it. So we've got to say it was just a few feet out. Matthew carefully records that it was in the middle of the sea, at the halfway point where it's the deepest. And then the miracle occurs. They were in the middle of the sea. They were tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And it wasn't just a gradual thing, it was sudden. Nature was unleashed with all the fury and all the anger it could possibly have. In our lives, in the midst of something, sometimes we feel a storm rage about us, a storm of depression perhaps, a storm of being angry at someone or having someone angry at us, a storm of every possible thing we can think of going wrong. In the midst of life, storms assail us. The unknown appears quickly. But you know what? Jesus created the world. Jesus created each and every one of us, and Jesus is in control, even in that storm of your life. He's never quit. He's never given up the throne. He's never stopped caring and loving for his own. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 tells us this: "For by him," that is Jesus Christ, "all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things," Paul says again, "were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in all things, in him all things consist." You think Jesus doesn't know about the storm in your life? He does. You think he doesn't have the power to calm that storm, whatever it is? He does. Even though it appears quickly, even though you've prayed up, even though you think you're in the center of God's will, even though you're in the midst of that storm, Jesus is in charge. The unknown appears quickly. In verses 25 through 27, the unknown is fearful. The unknown is fearful. We just had a really good object lesson if you were paying attention to the children's sermon. If I were to invite any one of you to come up here, close your eyes and fall backward, and I said, "I'm going to catch you," how many would take me up on that offer? One or two, three. That's a lot of trust, and I appreciate it. I wouldn't do it. I love you all dearly, but I wouldn't do it. Not without some safeguards in place. The unknown is fearful. We fear what we don't know. We fear what we don't understand. We fear the sudden storms in our lives. It's scary. It's scary. But look at verses 25 through 27. "Now in the fourth watch of the night," that is around 3 a.m., so they've been at this since dusk. They've been in this storm a while. "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost!' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.'" The unknown is fearful, but I want to show you something very important. If you don't get this, then the whole sermon is pretty much lost. Verse 25, Jesus walks with ease in the storms. Jesus walks with ease in the storms. There's not a storm created in your life or on the earth that can stop the power of Jesus Christ. There is nothing in your life that you cannot turn over to him and he can handle. God's shoulders aren't too small to handle your biggest worry. God's strength is not so weak that he cannot stop the problems you have in your life. Jesus walks with ease, even on storm-tossed seas. That little rhyme just came to me. That's pretty good. You can write that down if you want. Jesus walks with ease on storm-tossed seas. Verse 26, you got to understand, sometimes superstition can blind us. Superstition can blind us. What do they do when they see Jesus Christ? They say, "Ah, ghost!" And they get excited. You know, over in Luke, Jesus had probably just taught them about Lazarus and the rich man. And he had probably told them more than once this parable and told them that between heaven and hell, between earth and heaven and hell, there's a great ghost. There's a great gulf. And guess what, folks? There's no such thing as ghosts. "Well, my great Aunt Fanny, she knew this guy that had a poltergeist." There is no such thing as ghosts. Superstition can blind us. Superstition can blind us. Don't rely on superstition, folks. Don't immediately think when you see the supernatural that it is a superstitious thing. Trust in God. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4:7, "But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness." If you want that passage I'm citing, it's Luke 16:26, where Jesus talks about a great gulf separating us. The supernatural is under the control of God, not some superstition. God works in supernatural ways. God's wonders are performed daily. But there's no superstition that's going to point you to the truth. It doesn't matter if you read the almanac, the horoscope, or anything else. Don't follow that. Follow the Bible. Follow the truth of God. Superstition can blind us. But you know what? The light of the world can make you see. The light of the world can make you see. In verse 27, I like this. Jesus is the cure for fear. Jesus is the cure for fear. Look at verse 27. "But immediately," did it take a long time? Nope. "But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.'" Immediately. I like what the Amplified Version of the Bible had to say. This is a direct quote from the Amplified Version of the Bible. It says this: "Take courage. I am. Stop being afraid." Do you see what Jesus is saying there? Back in the Old Testament, when Moses was before God and he was commissioned to go and preach salvation of the Jews from Pharaoh's clutches and say, "Let my people go," he asked a very important question. He said, "Well, Lord, who do I say you are?" God said, "I am." Not "I was." Not "I will be," not "I might become," but "I am" eternally. Jesus says in the Greek, "I am." I'm in control here, boys. You don't have a thing to worry about. I am. There's not a storm created because I've created the world. There's not a thing in this earth or the next that can stop me. I am. Don't be afraid. When you face the fear of the unknown, when that storm on your life comes and it slams against you, remember, I am. Jesus lives forevermore. He's on the throne. Take courage. The unknown is fearful, but Jesus walks with ease in our storms. Superstition can blind us, but Jesus is the cure for fear. Sometimes we find out in verses 28 through 30 that the unknown can cause us to act. The unknown can cause us to act. "Peter answered and said to him, 'Lord, if it is you," Peter, he just told you who he was. Don't be so stubborn. Listen. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous or loud or whatever your Bible says, very tempestuous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." The unknown can cause us to act, folks. Sometimes, like in verse 28, we act in faith. Okay, God, I'm going to step out in the unknown. I'm going to go where you lead me to. I'm going to go where you tell me to go. I'm going to step out and I'm going to do your will. Why? Because you are God. Because you have just told me I am and I follow you. That's commendable. That's commendable. Would that more Christians across the country would step out in faith and say, no matter what the cost, no matter what trials and tribulations I will encourage, no matter what storms in my life, I will step out in faith and I will do as God bids me to do. That's what we're called to do. We can act in faith when we face the unknown. We can say, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Take me." Or as Isaiah said in Isaiah 6, "Here I am, Lord, send me, send me." God, I've got specific gifts that you have blessed me with. Take them and use them for your honor, for your glory. Send me, God. We can act in faith or not. What did Peter do? In verse 29, he stepped out of the boat. We too can step out of the boat. The boat represents perhaps floundering. The boat represents trouble, but the boat also represents a kind of safety. The boat was beginning to be swamped. It didn't represent as much safety as it once did. But these guys were fishermen. The boat was all they knew. When you're swamped and assailed in life, sometimes you need to act and get out of the boat. Sometimes that dear tradition, that dear thing that's holding you back, that you're holding on to so tightly, is going to be the instrument of your doom. Sometimes it's time to step out of the boat and to step in faith in Jesus Christ. Peter stepped out of the boat. Peter took a stand, and amazingly, he stood on water. That's pretty miraculous. That's pretty miraculous. Until that second that Peter took that faithful step and stepped on water, there's only one other being that walked on water. Who's that? Hello, who's that? Jesus, we just read it. Act in faith. Step out of whatever it is you're holding on to. Step toward Jesus. Leave the safety behind, because it's not really safety. Leave whatever you're holding on to behind and step toward Christ. We can act in faith when the unknown causes us to act. We can step out of the boat when the unknown causes us to act. Or we can let fear take over. We can let fear take over. What happens in verse 30? But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." I want to park a minute here on this particular verse and go over that prayer of Peter's. Wasn't a long prayer. It wasn't full of these and thous and thereforests and theists and thoists and all that fancy language we like to use when we're talking to God. It was a simple, short prayer. "Lord, save me." I don't even know how many words it was in the Greek. It may have even been only one word, knowing Greek as it is. He didn't have time for a long, fancy prayer. But do you think, if he began to drown, that he would have taken the time for a long fancy prayer? Or do you think he would have needed to, or is an arrow prayer, the kind you shoot to God in the middle of the day, effective? Yes, it is, because he was saved in any one of a number of ways at this point. His physical life was saved, and we'll see he began to see who Jesus really is. Jesus is God. Jesus is God, and he's the only one who can save us. We can let fear take over. Jesus had just gotten done previously in Luke 12:4-5, teaching them that their strength, that their comfort only comes from God, that God is the one we need to worry about. We don't need to worry about what man says. We don't need to worry about what the bank account says. We don't need to worry about these things. Am I saying be a bad steward of your money? No. Am I saying be ignorant of all that's going around you? No. But understand this. In Luke 12:4-5, Jesus says, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say, fear him." Peter's fear of his loss of life, while at that time to him was genuine, wasn't right. He should have feared following his master, his Lord and Savior, more, and had more trust in Jesus Christ and followed him rather than worrying about his life. The Bible teaches us that things won't always go our way, that sometimes calamities and storms happen in our life. But it also teaches us that Jesus is there, and we are to not fear anything that this world can do against us. The unknown can cause us to act. We can act in faith. We can step out of the boat. Or we can let fear take over. The unknown can show us God. The unknown can show us God. Look at verses 31 through 33. "And immediately..." Again, how long did it take Jesus to catch him? Immediately. "Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased." Again, that happened immediately. "Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Of God. The unknown can show us God. Verse 31, our doubts and fears will be addressed. Our doubts and fears will be addressed. Christ takes the time to teach Peter something about himself. He says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Peter, I'm standing here on the water. It's a storm-tossed sea, but Peter, I'm here. Why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt me? Why did you give up so quickly?" The storms in our life, the unknown, can show us who God is. I want you to see that Jesus took the time to teach Peter, to upbraid him, to counsel him, and to even rebuke him a little bit, because that's in his authority to do. "Peter, why did you quit?" But I want you to see something else. While he was doing that, Jesus was holding Peter's hand. Think about that a second. While you're being tried and tested, while you feel that you're being rebuked by God and chastened and punished, he's still holding on to you. He's still there. He hasn't quit. Our doubts and fears will be addressed as Jesus addressed Peter. Sometimes our doubts and fears are calmed. Sometimes we're chided and told, why did you doubt? If you claim me and I am the ruler of the universe, why do you doubt that I can't make it happen? We do that all the time, though, don't we? Well, I'll do it if it's God's will, and we know it is. But, well, we can't do that for this reason or that reason, or it just won't work, or da-da-da-da-da, and any one of a million excuses. Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? But even in the midst of it, Jesus holds on and doesn't let go. The unknown can show us God, and that our doubts and fears will be revealed. In verse 32, we see that Christ stills the storms. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Matthew isn't very verbose. He doesn't spend a lot of time and spill a lot of ink. He tells it like it is. Those of you that work in finance, when it's time to write a report, I dare say any of your companies don't want war and peace. They want to know what? The bottom line. Matthew, being a former tax collector, being involved in finance, said, Jesus performed not only a miracle of walking on the water, not only a miracle of pulling Peter out of the water, not only a miracle of showing him who he was, but the wind ceased. Christ still has the power to still the storms of doubt, the storms of fear, the storms that assail us in life, and immediately, if it's his will, the winds can cease. Christ stills the storms in that day and age, and Christ stills the storms today in 2012, this last Sunday of September. Christian Fear Factor, the unknown, Christ knows. Christ is in control. And in verse 33, we see the whole upshot of this passage, and it's this, that Christ receives the glory. Why did this storm happen? Was it just so Jesus could take a stroll on a storm-tossed sea? Nope. Was it so Peter could get a little fame for being the second individual to ever walk on a storm-tossed sea? No. Was it just because he had nothing better to do than to cause a storm in the lives of his disciples? No, it was that Jesus Christ becomes preeminent and that he gets the glory. Sometimes the reason you're going through the storms in your life is for Christ to get the glory. Sometimes trouble happens to Christians so that others can see how a Christian reacts. Do they put their faith in God? Do they cling to Christ? Do they stay in the boat? Do they stay on the sidelines? When the storms assail your life, make sure that Jesus Christ gets the glory. Christ receives the glory as a result of the storm. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, no matter what you go through, if you cling to Christ, if you proclaim Christ, if you put your trust completely in Jesus Christ, he will receive the glory in spite of and as a result of the storms in your life. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 teaches us that one day, even if we don't do it now, Christ will receive the glory. It says this, therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on the earth, and those under the earth, that's everyone, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christian, if you're not confessing that now, you will one day. Unsaved person, if you're under the sound of my voice and you have not met Jesus Christ and you spurn and ignore and don't listen to that small voice, the Holy Spirit telling you, get right today. One day, your kingdom will topple. the kingdom of self, and you will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let it be too late. As Lisa comes to play our hymn of invitation, hymn 250, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. Again, Jesus isn't surprised. There are no emergency meetings in heaven. There's no, what do we do now? Jesus knows he holds tomorrow. If you are a Christian and you're still trying to do it your own way, you're still trying to cling to that boat and you're not stepping out in faith, do it today. Put your full trust in him. If you're not a Christian, if you're trying to get there on your own, if you're trying to live a life that is pleasing to God, I've got news for you. You can't. You can't. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own ways, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He's our only hope. He's our only chance. Come today if you have a need. Please stand and sing hymn number 250. Hymn number 250. Separate ways.